We're going to get you all warmed up first before we get into the lesson. I found some very interesting. We have these a whole bunch of these cards in the back with trivia questions on it, Bible trivia. So I picked out some very interesting ones today. Let's see if we can get the wheels turning here. In the book of Revelation, specifically chapter 9, there are certain things, living things, commanded by God not to hurt the grass. This is during the tribulation. These things come out, they're everywhere, and they're not supposed to hurt the grass, and instead they afflict men. Not scorpions, on the right track, locusts. Yes, locusts. Next. There's a man in Scripture, a disciple of Jesus Christ, whose name is Bartholomew. He has an alternate name, like some folks in the Bible do. Anybody know his alternate name? No. Or is it an N? Nathaniel. Now, I don't have a reference for this one. Does that sound right? Yeah, I don't have. Usually they have references on here. That one doesn't have a reference. Anyway, got to be careful about some of these. All right, how about this one? Name the New Testament book. I'll give you a hint. It's one of the epistles of Paul, which has this statement, one of the verses in one of Paul's letters. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You got a 1 in 13 chance. Romans to Philemon. Which one is it? What is it? 1 Corinthians. Excelente, Pastor. 1 Corinthians 3, 7. Very good. Old Testament. There's a certain king who was told the following words by a certain prophet, which I will not say his name because I'll give it away. I want to know the king that this was addressed to. Quote, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. No, that's a good guess. Yes. Not Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar. Excellent, Miss Cookie. Yeah, Daniel 5. Very good. Ooh, here's a good one. I'm in the book of Esther in my Bible reading right now, so here's a really good one. What Jewish holiday commemorates Esther's, it was the Lord's saving, but he used Esther's saving of her people from a decree from the king, which happened to be her husband. Purim. Yeah, very good. P-U-R-I-M. Excellent. Ah, a little competition going. Old Testament books. Which book comes right after Habakkuk? That's before. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Miss Cookie, you win the prize today. Most answers. Very good. Okay. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 1. We've been here for some time now. And we have another title we'll cover. A title of Jesus Christ. It's kind of neat. You think of Jesus Christ, you think of Him. I don't know about you, I think of Him first and foremost as my Savior. I think that's probably most people. And that's good. But, oh, He is so much more, isn't He? We've seen that. So, let's look at a few verses and I'll show you where we're headed next. I'll read the verses we read last week and then we'll keep going. Go down to verse 35. John chapter 1, verse 35. Titles for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a bunch and a whole bunch just in this one chapter. So, pick it up in verse 35. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Okay, watch the next verse. This is where we'll get our next title. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? We're going to take a look at rabbi, and what's another name for rabbi, according to the verse? Master. More about both of those here in a second. But go down to verse 47. You'll see the same title again, so it's a couple times, so I think it's worth chasing. 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, here it is again, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Okay, so let's talk about this title of Rabbi. You know, actually, Chase, Rabbi, there's not a lot of instances in your Bible of Rabbi, there's a few. We'll take a look at some of those. Spend probably the bulk of our time talking about the title Master. So, anybody want to chime in here when we say, when the Bible says, or you hear even today, people will refer to a rabbi. What is a rabbi? Okay, specifically, a teacher, but more specifically, what kind of a teacher? Jewish, and a teacher of what? A Jewish teacher of Old Testament law. That in Jesus' day, that would be a rabbi. And actually today, since most of your Orthodox Jews are the ones that would be called rabbis, they actually focus on the Old Testament still. So they are still very learned and have a lot of knowledge on the Old Testament law. So a rabbi would be a Jewish teacher, particularly a teacher of Jewish law. So you'll see that these first few, we'll take a look at, actually, this first section, we'll look at master and rabbi, and then we'll kind of focus on rabbi, and then I'll come back to master. I want to start off going to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. We'll be mostly in the Gospels here, but kind of flipping around. So Matthew 23, and read a little bit of a section here. Matthew 23. You'll see rabbi and master show up here, so we'll kind of connect the two, and then chase a few verses on rabbi. So look at verse 1. And you learn a little bit about what a rabbi is from this passage. Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms of feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues. Watch verse 7. And greetings in the market, and to be called of men what? Rabbi, rabbi. Watch the next verse. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, who's that? Even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Okay, notice, before I go to verse 9, you want to get the context here. Rabbi, in this context, is a term for an authority, a Jewish authority, correct? A Jewish religious leader, correct? In that context, look what the Lord says in verse 9, and it actually gives you insight into a major world religion today. Look at verse 9. And call no man your what? Father upon the earth. So in this context of religious titles, what does Jesus Christ warn against? Referring to someone by the name of Father who's a religious authority. Can you think of any religion that does that? Isn't it neat when you read the Bible? I mean, Jesus said this 2,000 years ago. Do you think he knew that there was a day coming when this would be the norm? So, years ago, I was at a church, and the pastor actually gave an invitation at the end of the service. We had a fellow come forward, and he wanted to be saved. So, it was one of those deals where I felt like I was rushed because the pastor wanted this guy to get dealt with quickly, make the announcement that he got saved. Which I don't like that. We should be able to spend some time with people. But if you've been in church for a while, you know how this goes. So I'm dealing with the guy, and he says to me while I'm talking to him, he says, yeah, when when the father said, and he was referring to the pastor, and I said, oh, you mean the pastor? He says, yeah, the father.
But isn't that something, the brainwashing that goes on in that religion when it comes to these, first of all, the title and then the ceremony? I don't find it in the Bible. In fact, it's spoken against us in the Bible to say Father, who is his title. And it's also nowhere in the Bible that you call a religious service a mass, as in a massacre. What happens in a massacre? There's death. And if you know anything about the Catholic religion, they celebrate the death of Jesus Christ every time they meet, and also it's almost like they recreate it. So anyway, enough of that, but it's interesting that that's right there in this context of religious life. Okay, go on down to the verse, read the rest of verse 9 first. Call the way your Father upon the earth. For what is your Father which is in heaven? Okay, let me just reiterate. Is it okay to refer to your actual Father, the one who is responsible for you being here? Can you call him Father? Yes. What's warned against fear? Calling someone Father as a religious title, just as Rabbi is a religious title. Are you with me? So Father's okay to call him Father, but just don't call somebody Father who is a religious title. So anyway. Now, look at verse 10. Neither be ye called masters. We'll say something about that a little bit later. Masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Okay, so when you think of master, rabbi, this is a title given for someone who has authority, correct? And the reason why they have authority, what would you say the main reason? Why do they possess authority? It has to do with their knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. Okay, so with that in mind, if somebody has this title, they are an authority. So they are above everybody, correct? Help me out. That person who has authority is above everybody, yes or no? In that religion, thank you, Pastor, in that religion, yes. They're not supposed to. In fact, here's why. Look at the next verse. Neither be called master, for one is your master, even Christ. Now here's the verse. But he that is greatest among you shall be what? Your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Okay, so I can really park here for a while. Let me just put it short. You have people with religious titles today that people give them authority, and that person is exalted above everybody else as if they are more knowledgeable and higher than everybody else. That's religion. That's not biblical Christianity. Y'all know that. That's religion. The way the Lord Jesus Christ said it is, okay, somebody has that title. Okay. What should they be, even though they have this title? And they may have some authority. What still do they remain if they have it correctly according to the Bible? If they know what that position entails according to the Bible? They should not just be one with authority. They also should be willing to humble themselves as a servant. You know what I mean? And I know that over the years, the greatest pastor that I've been around, they knew the Bible, absolutely. They spoke with authority when they preached and taught. But, you know what else they did? They're willing to take up trash. They're willing to sweep or clean toilets. Because that's the job of a servant. Alright? So I say this because our world is full of charlatans today, you know that. And they love to be exalted, and they love for people to come to them and tell them how great they are. Folks, a person who's great in the sight of God is not going to take that. They're going to say, God deserves the glory. I'm nothing but a lowly servants. By the way, Jesus Christ, being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Anybody ever came to this earth and deserved to be spoken to as the authority and should be above all? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He's not a servant. He became a servant. So that's really interesting. When you get to the world of religious titles now, unfortunately, and those of you who've been around a while, you've been in independent Baptist churches, you guys are independent Baptist folks too, don't you? Quote, folks. That they just, I've been in church once. And I tell you, I've been in a couple of churches like that where that person in the pulpit has all authority. You do not dare challenge him. And if you do, you might get kicked out. You probably will get kicked out. They're missing the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ himself and understanding God gave them that position and they have a role and they are to obviously follow the scriptures and fulfilling that role, but they got to remember also they're nothing but a servant of God. And they may have that position. Here's the thing about having authority, and sometimes, a lot of times I don't like this at school. With authority, what else do you have? Huge responsibility. And responsibility can be grievous, can't it? But it's part of the job. And you have to constantly lean on the Lord to carry out the responsibility in a way that moves to him. So, kind of neat there, the way the Lord addresses that whole thing. By the way, notice in the next verse, I should read the first part. After he explains this thing about what a real rabbi master is, a servant, look what he does in the next verse. Verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. What's he called? These are the guys that were loving the position of authority, and they were loving having this lordship over everybody, but they themselves refused to, number one, do what they taught everybody else to do, and number two, become a servant. So, interesting. Let's go back to, before we do that, yeah.
I got a thing for my today. Red and green. I think that one.
That's about it. It's a break in the edge. Commercial break. Here's a commercial break. Got your bottom of it? You got the right bottom of it? We give it a commercial break for the right one. We can change that spot. We'll go to the old order. Turn over the top of the three. We'll be there.
Testing. There we go. Good. Okay. Comments or questions on that whole thing about religious titles and the abuse of them? Anybody got anything on that? Have you seen that over the years? If you've been in church a while, you probably have, unfortunately. Yeah. So men get a real prideful attitude when they get a position of authority. Ooh. Okay, John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and how does he address him? Rabbi, said unto him, Rabbi. You get a little insight on what a rabbi is from this passage. Let's keep going. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So, rabbi in that context right there, by definition, a teacher, come from God. Okay. Nicodemus, why do you think Nicodemus addressed him as such? What do you think? We'll see some other instances of him being addressed as rabbi, as we saw in John chapter 1. Why would Jesus Christ be addressed as rabbi? Now, if you know anything about the rabbis that were around before Jesus Christ, they'd been to school. And they had sat, what usually happened is a rabbi would sit under another rabbi. Anybody ever get into martial arts here at all? I never have over the years. But what's interesting is, if you go martial arts schools, karate, there's a, they call him a sensei usually. And that sensei is the teacher. Some places they call him the professor. And he's the one that has all the knowledge. And the student sits under that particular sensei. And then they grow and develop. And in martial arts, you can get all the way up to black belt. And then guess what that person who has a black belt can do eventually if they want? They can become the teacher, the sensei. And then they will be asked, who did you learn under? And they will, and a lot of times there's a lot, the really popular ones, there's kind of like a line of, oh, you learned from him. Oh, so did I. So that's kind of how the rabbis were. They had sat under somebody who was very knowledgeable on the Old Testament scriptures. Paul sat under a guy. You remember his name? There's a particular guy that Paul sat under. Gamaliel. And he was the, I suppose, a rabbi that Paul learned the Old Testament scriptures from. So, y'all tell me, Jesus Christ did not sit under any man that we know of, because at 12 years old, what's he doing? He's having a conversation with the doctors and the lawyers. So, why would Nicodemus address him as that? Why would anybody address him as that? He didn't have any learning from any man. He didn't sit under any man. So why would they say that? They saw what he did and heard what he said and attributed, this man has some kind of authority, whether we know or not where it comes from, this man speaks with authority, and they obviously heard him speak on the Old Testament because he referred to the Old Testament a lot. So that's where that thing comes from. But notice a particular ruler of the Jews himself, a guy way up there, calls him rabbi. Nicodemus does. Okay, go over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Again, there's only, I want to say a handful, maybe a little less than 10 instances of rabbi in the Bible. Master, there's a whole lot more. So get a couple more of these on rabbi. John chapter 6, verse 6:22. This is right after Jesus calmed the storm and gets into the boat with the disciples. So right after that, 22, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one where into his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. So they're thinking, how did he get here? Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias and into the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Okay, so that matches what Miss Linda said. They address him as rabbi because, number one, he miraculously shows up on the other side of the sea, and he was not in the boat with the disciples. Number two, they had previously seen him feed a whole bunch of people with just a little bit of food. So they know that he has some kind of authority. So with that, go to John chapter 20. This is, I can't remember if this is the last one. One of the instances of, not rabbi, but really close. John 20. And this is right after the resurrection. Go down there to verse 15. This is Mary at the tomb, 20:15. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, what's she call him? Rabboni, which is to say, all right, so when you see Rabbi and Rabboni, they are obviously not spelled the same, but they have similar idea. And from what I was able to find out, this one is actually a little more specific. It's a more personal title. It's close. In fact, you take out the O-N. It's my master rather than just Rabbi. And there's an acknowledgement from Mary there. So that's after the resurrection. Kind of neat there. Okay, so go over to Matthew chapter 7. Let's talk about this thing with Jesus Christ having this title and why. What's the main reason Jesus Christ had this title? Well, the miracles, obviously. Look at something else here. Familiar passage to you, verse 24. At least the first part of it probably is. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Really good illustration about where you build your house. And more specifically, what are you building your life on? Look what the response is after that. 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his doctrine. How come they were astonished? 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So there's astonishment on the part of the hearers, when Jesus Christ taught, because he spoke with authority. You can speak with authority, and he spoke with authority, because he's speaking forth the truth. Another one of his titles, the truth. Have you noticed a lot of times when you listen to a teacher or a preacher, you can tell if they really believe what they're teaching you or preaching at you or not. And it has a lot to do with how they speak. Have you been able to tell, those of you who heard a lot of different preachers and teachers, have you been able to tell a person, you know that they believe what they're actually reading if they speak with authority? Actually, maybe it goes the other way around. If they speak with authority, there's a really good chance they believe what they're reading to you, correct? Have you noticed that? I've heard a few guys over the years that, actually more than a few, that as they go along, they will change the scriptures. Who becomes the authority then? They are. Watch out for those guys. I've heard others that will read, even out of the King James Bible, and then say things like, yeah, well, let me explain to you actually what happened here. And try to change what the narrative says very clearly in the Bible. So watch out for people like that, because you want to make sure that the scriptures are believed. And someone who's teaching, you can usually tell if they believe it or not by the way that they teach it. And there's authority there. Okay, that's a little bit about Rabbi. Any other thoughts or comments that come to your mind about Rabbi? There's not a whole lot of instances on that. Anything else to add to that, Pastor? On Rabbi? Is it okay for Jesus to be called Rabbi? I mean, when I pray, I don't refer to the Lord Jesus Christ as Rabbi. I suppose that'd be fine. But it's okay for him to have that title, because who's the greatest teacher of any of the scriptures? It would be the Lord Jesus Christ himself, right? Okay, let's take a look at this thing about master for a second here. So go over to 1 Chronicles 25. Now, you know that in our world today, people define terms the wrong way. A lot of times. Not all the time, but a lot of times. Let me show you an instance where people have a particular term, they're wrong about how they define it, and it actually gets them in trouble because of the way they define it, or they falsely define it. Look at 1 Chronicles 25. This is a chapter that doesn't seem all that exciting, because there's a bunch of names in this chapter. And talks about the different organization of the musicians in the nation of Israel. So if you go down there to verse 8, there's this little verse thrown in here that gives you some insight into something. Verse 8, and they cast lots, ward against ward, as well, watch the wording, the small as the great, the teacher as the, okay, the scholar. So notice there, small and great are no different here. Notice what else is no different. Teacher and scholar. What comes to mind when you think of the word scholar, when you hear people use that today? Someone who knows a lot. Usually the scholars are in the Bible scholars are in the seminaries, and they write books, and they go around and have teaching and preaching time, and they are hailed as, you have a lot of degrees, you must be really smart, usually from the greatest seminaries that men would consider to be great. And that's usually what a scholar is. But hold on a second. Small and great, teacher as scholar. These are actually not the same. In this sense they are, but they're actually different. Small, you all know that small and great are completely different. That means that these two are completely different. Opposites. In this context it says that they're the same, but understand that different yet the same. So, what would a scholar be in this context? What do you think? Anybody? Let me show you another passage. Go over to Malachi chapter 2. Show you something really neat. Comparing the scriptures, you see something, you get some insight in. Malachi chapter 2. Verse 12. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this. The what? Okay, it doesn't say teacher. It says master. You get some insight here. The master and the scholar. Okay. So, from the Bible, when you define these terms, what is a scholar? What do you think? A scholar is actually a student. That would be beneath the master or the teacher. I show you those passages not really to focus on scholar, but to show you that these two are used interchangeably, teacher and master. But let's spend just a minute on this one. Today, the world hails the scholars as these learned people who speak with authority. But in the Bible, what's a scholar? It's everybody that's here today. I mean, you're here to learn, right? So am I. I don't ever want to stop, and we should never want to stop, being a scholar. A scholar is a student, one who learns. Our world has got this thing messed up, though. Today, the scholar is the guy that has all the authority. So what the world's done is, oh, you're just a teacher? Oh, the scholar's above you. The scholar knows way more than you. But in your Bible, the scholar is beneath. So I bring this up to just show you another instance of the world gets the definitions wrong. And they don't spell things out the way that the Bible does. So, just an instance of that. So, I show you all that to compare these terms. These are really the same. Notice it said teacher scholar, master scholar. What is a master? What is a rabbi? We already set it up here. A teacher. So, with that in mind, let's look at some verses on Jesus Christ as master. Go to Matthew 22, and we'll probably spend the rest of our time right here because there's a lot. In Matthew 22, this is where Jesus Christ is challenged. Who are the people that constantly challenged him? The Pharisees. The religious authorities. They were the ones that constantly challenged him. So look at verse 16. Actually, 15 first, because this matches exactly what Miss Linda said. Verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might do what? Entangle him in his talk. So they're trying to catch him. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, and what do they call them? Okay, now, keep in mind, when they say what we're going to read here, they're trying to entangle him in what he says. But watch how they approach him. Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Now, think about that statement right there. Is there any truth in what they said right there? Let's break it down. We know that thou art true. Is that correct? Yes. And teaches the way of God in truth. Is that correct? Those are true statements, but why are they coming to him? They're trying to trap him. Why would they speak to him like that if they're trying to trap him? This is a tactic used by people, by the way, in the world today. See, what are they trying to do? Anybody? They're trying to trap him, but they say some really nice things about him that are actually true. What's this called? Flattery. If I flatter them, then they'll think that I am really coming to them for something, and maybe if I flatter them, I can get them to think my way or go my way. Isn't that usually the tactic? All right? I'll just give you an example of this. Chris can probably attest to this. Pastor has taught over the years. He's been in school. When you have a parent come to you and say really nice things to you, watch out. Isn't that truth? Now, sometimes it's sincere and genuine. Other times, they come to you and they tell you all these great things about you, and then they challenge you right after that. Why would they do that? They're trying to butter you up first, and then since, okay, well, they think I'm so great. Oh, well, now they're telling me something. They're probably right. I mean, they were right about how great I am. You wouldn't say that, but you're thinking that. You're like, man, they're saying all these nice things about me. And you got to really be careful when people come to you and say a lot of really nice things about you and then follow it up with some stuff that may or may not be right. So that's the tactic here. So then, go on to verse 17. Look what they say. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? See how they're trying to catch him here. Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought it unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, whose is this image of superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. Pretty good answer, isn't it? Did they catch him? Couldn't get him that time. In fact, look at the next verse. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Okay. Taken care of. Until the next verse. This is just one thing after another in this chapter. It's really interesting. 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no what? These are people that don't believe in the resurrection. And asked him, saying, Master, there's that title again. Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, hold on a second, they don't believe in the resurrection. You see the tactics of these people? They don't even believe in what they're saying. So what's their purpose in even coming to him? They're trying to trip him up. So it says, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And watch the answer here. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Okay, good answer there. And he goes on there. Look at verse 33. He keeps going there a couple verses. When the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But then you go to the next verse and look what's going on. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, there it is again, what do they call him? Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. The second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay, so that's it. And then if you look at the next verse, look who challenges the Pharisees. While the Pharisees were gathered together, now who's asking the questions? Jesus asked them, and this is actually one of his favorite things to talk about if you read through the Gospels. Look at verse 42. Saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say to him, the son of David. Okay, now I want you to think about this for a minute. They knew that Messiah would come. Messiah, Christ, same title. We'll actually chase that one here down the road. And they knew that he would come from the tribe of Judah, which is from the line of who? King David. So they answer correctly. And then look at the next verse. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And he's quoting there from Psalm 110. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? All right, so what he's saying is, if Christ is a descendant of David, how is it possible for David to refer to one of his descendants as Lord? Don't you usually refer to somebody as Lord that would be older? How is it that he calls him Lord even though Christ came long after David? What's the answer to that, folks? In the beginning was the Word. Christ came before David. He existed before David. So then he asked them that, try to get them thinking, and then look at the next verse, verse 46. And no man was able to answer him a word, neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Didn't he shut him up? He always did. And he always had the right answer because Jesus Christ is truly Master, capital M. Now, I think, let's take a minute here. I want to get something practical here. Go to Ephesians 6. Something practical for all of us here, Ephesians chapter 6. With that in mind, personal application here. Who is your master? And it's one thing to say, but your master truly is the person that you serve and obey. Yeah, watch this. Verse 5. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Now, that's lowercase. Your masters according to the flesh. That would be your boss. Somebody who's over you. With fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Go down there to verse 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them forbearing threatening, knowing that your, there it is, your master, capital M, also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So you have a warning there for those under masters to serve them and obey them. And notice it says according to the flesh. And that's not just to the gentle, but also to the froward, those who are maybe not so great as far as bosses go, as far as overseers. Then a warning to masters, those who are in charge, those who have authority, who do you ultimately serve? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Master with the capital M there. So if you go to James, we won't go over there because of time, but it says over there in James, be careful about being a master because you have much greater responsibility. It says unto them, there's a greater condemnation. So why would he say that? Well, if you are a teacher, particularly a teacher of the Bible, you have great responsibility, don't you? And if with that great responsibility, you have people that listen. And people, a lot of times, are just going to believe what you say because, well, you're the guy that's teaching. And I know it shouldn't be like that. It should be the Bible. But notice the great responsibility God gives to those who teach. And be careful about that. Keep in mind, regardless of where you sit, there is one master, and we are to serve him and him above anybody else and everybody else. Amen? So, hopefully something there to put in your pocket. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your words and how they are always exactly what we need to hear. Thank you, Lord, for the greatest teacher ever, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that Jesus Christ be exalted here in our service today. May our hearts and minds just be on you today, be turned to you, to hear from you, to really worship you today. I just pray for a great spirit that is really ready to exalt the name of Jesus Christ and all that we're doing here today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.